Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for your faithfulness, granting us this wonderful opportunity to meet once again, to fellowship with one another, O Lord, and to be in your house, O Lord. How we can feel the freshness of your presence, O Lord. Knowing that where we come from out there, there's so many attractions, so many things that just lead us into confusion, O Lord. But we have come to refresh our minds, to renew our experience, O Lord, and to be fed from your mouth, O Heavenly Father. That's why your people gathered here, O Lord, we commit ourselves into your hand, believing that before even we came, you were here, O Lord. We commit this hall, this auditorium into your hands. We don't know, so many things have been done during the week here, O Lord, that may have brought so many different spirits here. So many things have been said, O Lord. But now, we take possession of this place, O Lord, and we are calling the Holy Spirit to anoint this place, O Lord, so that every spirit will be submitted under your leadership, O Lord. Every one of our thoughts will be submitted under your leadership, O Lord. I commit your children into your hand. Those who came with needs in their hearts, let you answer their needs, O Lord. Those who came crying, O Lord, wipe out their tears, O Lord. Those who came up wanting, O Lord, more of you, let you make yourself available to them, O Lord. We commit everything into your hand. As we open your word for this short lesson of Sunday school, you take control. Take control of the rest of the service, O Lord. Even the wedding ceremony that will follow, you be in charge, O Lord. Let it be a real blessing, O Lord. Let it be a day that we will remember for the rest of our lives. We commit everything into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Let's open Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Exodus 4, 1 to 4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to share a very little thought. We spoke on it Friday in our cottage meeting for those who were there. But today we want to take it just as a Sunday school lesson so that we can learn something and maybe it will help us in our daily experience. Back then we titled it, what is that in your hand? But today we want to call it, saved to serve. Amen. We have been saved to serve. Amen. Because many of us Christians, believers, we think that's it all. We know we came and God saved you. God took you from your sinful ways and you received the Lord and you received the Holy Ghost and you are saved. And you said, that's it. That's the end of it. I'm saved. That's it. But not. God saves you for a purpose. Amen. God doesn't just save you for the sake of saving you. When God called you, God has a purpose for you in his mind. The purpose of God is not only you to go to heaven, which is good. But before you go to heaven, God has a mission. God has commissioned you because he calls you and commissions you. Amen. So we are saved to serve the Lord. That's the topic. Amen. But we see here with Moses that Moses knew that he was called for a purpose. Moses was very, very conscious that he was saved. God called him and God had a mission for him to accomplish. But Moses was trying to put so many requirements before he can start serving the Lord. Moses, in his representation, he wanted it to be something that he will be able to accomplish by his own strength. That's why when he was still in Egypt, he killed the Egyptian. Because he thought it was something that him, with his might, with his ability, he will do. He was well aware that the Lord has called me. I have a mission, a purpose. I have a commission that the Lord has given me. And seeing what he was in Egypt, seeing what he was and his military skills, his position as a prince, and everything, he said, I think now it is enough for me to do the job. It is enough for me to answer to my calling. Let me go and deliver the people. And he went out there and he failed. From that moment on, Moses started considering himself as unable to accomplish what God called him for. That's why he started even running away from the presence of the Lord. He went out there in the backside of the desert and he even, refused to get involved in connection with people. He said, no, I'm going to look for after ships because it's easier for me. It's my comfort zone. Let me just look after the ships and I'll be in peace because people, they don't understand me. I'm not able to do the job. Amen. And he was out there, and that day when he left the house to go, he didn't know that would be his last day as a shepherd. Amen. Because for him, on his own eyes, he couldn't understand that he was the man for the job. Knowing what he left back in Egypt, knowing the power of the army of Pharaoh, knowing everything that he left, he could just look at himself, he says, I am incapable of doing this job. Because they've got tanks, they've got chariots, they've got bullets. I don't have anything to fast that army. But what the Lord asked him as a question was, what is that in your hand? Amen. In the eyes of God, it was not all the requirements, all the conditions that Moses was putting in front before he started the job that mattered for God. For God is looked at Moses and saw him as the man of the job with what he had in his hand. Amen. Because if that day Moses knew that I'm going to be commissioned to go and deliver the people from Egypt, maybe that day before he left the home, he would have put on his Egypt uniform. He would have put on his Egyptian military uniform. He would have put on his sword. He would have taken the bullet, the munition, because he said, God is going to commission me to go and deliver his people. But God didn't warn him because God looked at him as a shepherd with his rod in his hand. God saw that he was the man for the job and he was ready for the job. To an extent, when God started sending him, God was, persuaded that Moses is ready. But Moses started putting on excuse after excuse. I'm not ready. They won't believe me. I am this. I am that. I am that. To an extent where God asked him, what is in your hand? Amen. It was something so simple. It was something the prophet says, it was just a dry stick that he picked up somewhere in the desert. Something, he could neglect. Something he didn't consider like something important. But himself, even in Moses, was not aware of the power that simple rod possessed. He was not aware of the potential included that was in that simple rod that he was holding in his hand. To an extent where, when God told him, what is that in your hand? He said, I have a rod. God told him, throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground. Moses discovered the power that was laying in the gift that he had with him. Amen. He had a gift that was sitting with him all these years, but never realized the potential that was laying in the gift. Amen. So that when God was telling him, go, I want to use you to serve my people, Moses was looking at having a sword, having an Egyptian, you know, attire of a general, putting on this, having a chariot, but God was looking at what you have. And God wants you to serve him with what you have. Amen. Because many times we keep postponing the calling of God because we believe that, oh, when I grow up, then I will serve the Lord. Samuel was just a child when God called him. He used what he had in his hand to fulfill his commission. Amen. Oh no, I don't have enough money to serve the Lord. We put so many conditions, every one of us here, when we are called, someone, you know, something tells you that you need to serve the Lord, we start looking at what we don't have. You know, I'm not the pastor. No, serving the Lord is not only for the pastor. It's for everyone according to what you have in your hand. You don't realize the potential of what you have. Amen. You don't even realize sometimes that you have something because you don't count it as something. For Moses, that rod was just something he could put in a fire and find another rod. But God knew that particular rod is the one I'm going to use. Moses could say, no, if God wants to use a rod, I need to polish it properly. I need to make it look like this, decorate it. God said, no, the way it is. He didn't allow him any time to go out and try to polish it. When God calls you for a ministry, he knows that you have enough. When God wants to give you a job, he knows that what you have is enough to do the job. Amen. That's why we said we are saved to serve the Lord. We have been saved because God wants to use you for something. But the problem with us is we don't look at what we have, but we compare ourselves to others. Yeah. Amen. We compare ourselves to others. We say, okay, I'm just a sister. You know, Brother Maxwell is a minister. You know, it's him that can serve. Remember the parable of the talents. Amen. Remember the parable. Most of us, we, you know, when we read, we condemn that man with one talent. We say, this man, how did he go and dig and hide the talent? But we usually, every day we are digging and hiding our talents. That's right. Every one of us here. Because you compare and say, I'm not the pastor. Because if I was a deacon, I would do something. But I'm just a sister. I'm just a child. And you take your talent, you go and hide it somewhere. You are not using it to serve the Lord. Amen. The talent is not only standing there to preach the word. And most of the time what we do, we consider what we have as too small. You say, it's just too little. I can't do something with it. But if you read in that parable of the talent, I don't know if I have it here. The Lord says, in Matthew 24:15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1. Listen now to the next sentence. To every man according to his several abilities. Amen. He has given to everyone according to his ability. If he gave you 1 talent, is enough for according to your abilities. And he wants you to use that talent to produce something. He wants you to use that talent for his kingdom. Amen. If he give the other one 5 talents because he knows that he's able to handle 5. If he gave you 5, it would maybe spoil your experience. That's why I say, according to your abilities, I'm going to give you just a gift of singing. Amen. According to your abilities, I'm going to give you just a gift of, you know, public communication. Because sometimes we think serving the Lord is just being a prophet and a minister and a deacon. No, God gave you that, boldness to speak to people. That's your talent. Use it. Amen. That's your talent. Use it. But most of them, we take it and we dig it and we bury it. You say, no, I was not the pastor. I can't serve the Lord. I'm waiting until I get my PhD. Yes. But you don't know that God uses the PhD people to speak to the PhD world and the uneducated people to speak to the uneducated world. Because a PhD man will come into that world of, fishermen, he'll speak a language that they won't understand. He has 5 talents to people that need 1 talent. Amen. So that's why don't dig and hide your talent. God called you to serve him with what is in your hand. God didn't ask Moses to go out there and find something special. What was there was enough for him to go and deliver to them. Amen. Moses didn't know that within that stick, there was enough power to open the Red Sea. Amen. Moses didn't know that within that stick, there was enough power to call darkness upon Egypt. He didn't know that in that stick, there was enough power to bring water out of a rock. Amen. Why? As long as it was still only in his hands, it was powerless. But when he accepted to put it, to surrender it into Jesus' hands, it became powerful. Amen. Amen. Your abilities, your gift, whatever you have, is you find it useless because you are keeping it for yourself. Amen. But lay it on his feet, it will become something powerful. Amen. You'll be astonished yourself what it can perform. Because Moses, the first thing he realized, if you read the Bible, the verse we have read there, his own stick that he had had all these years, he threw it on the ground, it became a snake, he ran away. Amen. Himself didn't realize, he was discovering the power that was, he was walking with that power. Yeah. Amen. He was discovering that this simple thing I have neglected so for so many years, it has a power to become a snake and to make myself run away. It was God that could now tell him, go and hold it by the tail. If he held it by the head, it would have beaten him. And he would have died. Amen. So you see the power that you are holding. Amen. In your usual abilities, if in your simple life you are living, you have enough power to call, to close the heaven. You have enough power to bring people into the kingdom. Amen. Just put it in his hands. In your hands, it's worth nothing. But in his hand, it's worth everything. Amen. Are we together? Amen. This is where we make our many mistakes because of comparison, as I said. I'm just this and I'm just that. Or before, I'm not married. Who told you to serve the Lord? You need to be married. Jesus, was he married? No, but he's the best ever. Amen. We have the Apostle Paul. We have so many. Who told you that to serve the Lord you need to have a car? I can't go to evangelize because I don't have a car. Listen to what the prophet said. There's so many excuses we put forward, All right. Now his spirit is here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's moving in his church. You know what's the matter with it. You are not yielding to the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit and you think, well, that's as much as I can go. That many of us here, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you say, now I can rest. In one sense, yes, the Holy Spirit is a rest. But the prophet said, he didn't give you a Holy Spirit to say, I've arrived. No, he says, you receive the Holy Spirit and think, well, that's as much as I can go. Well, It just means that you are ready to go to work for God. When you receive the Holy Ghost, it just means that you are ready now to go to work. When you receive the Holy Ghost by receiving on Jesus Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit, then you are just a candidate to go to work for God. Amen. Then go to yielding your members to Him. What have you got in your hand? Yield it to Him. See what He would have to do with it. He might have you to preach. Amen. He might have you to sing, testify, pass out tracts, talk to people, bring someone to church. Amen. You see what He has called you for. Is it okay? You see why He has saved you. He saved you. He didn't save everyone to preach. He said, someone He may have just saved you. When He gives you the Holy Ghost, your job will just be to testify. You may just bring someone to church. He said, you may just go and talk to people. That's what He has called you for. So, now consider those abilities that you have, that stick that you have in your hand. Are you using it properly? Is there no reason why God put you in contact with so many people out there? You have a good stick that God wants you to use, but you are leaving it to the pastor. Because you say, I have only one talent. The pastor's got five. I'm going to hide mine and let him do the job. No, with your one talent, you can testify to people. Yes. Amen. He says, but no matter what you got, how little it is, you say, well, Brother Branham, the only thing I can do, I might talk to some people. He said, well, that might not be very much to you. Listen, that might not be very much to you, but put it in the hands of Jesus and see what He will do with it. Amen. Jesus said to His disciples, don't worry about what you are going to say. The moment when it comes, when you put that speech I have given you into my hands, I'm going to use it in a way that will astonish you. It will become a snake that you yourself you will be amazed of what will come out of your mouth. Amen. What is that in your hand? Just put it in Jesus' hand and you'll see what it can perform. You'll see what it can become. Amen. He says, put it in the hand of Jesus and see what he will do with it. Like the little fishes that was in the little boy's hands. Do you remember that story? To the boy, it was just five loaves and two fishes. He may have hidden it to say, I'll eat it tomorrow. That's what we do. We keep our gifts. We keep our abilities. We keep our rod. We say, this is just a simple stick. You can't do nothing. See, there is 10,000 people, 5,000 people out there. How can this simple gift of mine, I don't even know how to speak, how will that be helpful to the people? But what the boy did, he didn't keep it to himself. He said, this gift that God has given me, I'm going to give it, I'm going to lay it at Jesus' feet. Amen. And when he put it in Jesus' hands, it was able, it became, big enough to feed 5,000 people. Amen. Most of the time we fail because we consider circumstances. You are afraid, you are scared of, using your gift, utilizing what God has given you. You say, they won't believe me. I'm not educated. I can't do this. I can't do that. But God is asking you, what is that in your hand? What abilities, what skills do you have? If you just put them into His hands and surrender completely, you'll see how big things can be achieved. We have been saved to serve the Lord. The Lord didn't save you just to come to church. It's good to come to church and listen. But you have a ministry. We have all a calling. We are all here. Don't consider, you know, a calling of God just like a spiritual gift. Oh, I can have a word of wisdom. You know, when I receive a word of wisdom, oh, I'll be speaking, people will listen. No, the word of wisdom, it may just be spoken through your daily life. You can just pick something and you don't know what it will do. You know, to close, I'm going to just give you an example. I remember when I was working sometimes some years back, I spoke with my boss. It was just a 2 minutes talk, but I didn't know how impactful it had, what impact it had in his life. I never knew it until the day I was leaving the company. He told me something that I realized, oh, that was it. You know, he found a tract on my table, one of those tracts that we gave out. It was on my desk. And he came and he read it. He said, Jesus, I can't remember what it was. And he said something like a joke. So I started talking to him. That's the only time we spoke on the gospel with him. I started asking him about what comes after this life ends. Do you believe? You know, I started telling him about the difference between his body and his soul. And he was a bit confused. So I just asked him a question. His name was Cormac. I said, Cormac, the day you'll die, you'll pass away, okay? Now I'm calling you. When I call Cormac, you answer, yes. Is it? Yeah. He said, but the day you die, if I call Cormac, will you answer? He said, no. I said, why? He said, because I'm dead. I said, no, because Cormac, who was answering my question, won't be there anymore. He said, what did you mean? I said, yeah, because the true Cormac is not this body. The true Cormac is the one I'm talking to now. The one that will not be able to answer the day you die. And I asked him, where will that Cormac be when you are there? He said, okay. He left. I didn't know it has such an impact on him. The day I was leaving the company, he came and greeted me, said, you almost made me a Christian that day. I said, that's why, just to illustrate the power of what you have. Just to testify. Just speak. I don't know where he went. I don't know. It may just have been a seed that will, you know, germinate someday somewhere. Amen. May really God help us to understand our calling, to understand the power and the impact of what we have in your hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these few words we have spoken in a scattered manner, O Lord. But you know how to order them, to put them in the correct order and make them meaningful to your people, O Lord. We commit them into your hand. We have listened from you, but now it's time for us, for this word to bring forth after its kind in our lives, O Lord. Let us really be the true disciples. Let us really be those people that you have called, you have saved, and will be there as the dispensers of your grace to the world, O Lord. Bless us as we commit now the rest of the service into your hand. Take control of everything, the singing, the worship, tithes, offerings, everything that will be done. Let it be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.